And this morning we're going to be in Mark 16, finishing up Mark today. Mark 16, and our text will include verses 17 through 20. Mark 16, 17 through 20. Now, last week we saw how Mark was drawing his gospel to a close. And he says there in verse 19, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." And we looked at that and saw how that Mark was concluding the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now in these final verses that we're going to look at, we see that by the authority of Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, the promise of His Spirit, and the promise of His spiritual blessings to us, we see how that the Lord Himself gives us power and authority to do His will, to do that which He would have us to do here as His people, as the Church of God here on the earth. Now, I've titled this, "Confirming the Word with Signs." Confirming the Word with Signs. Alright, so we know that when our Lord ascended into heaven and was seated in power and glory, we're told then in verse 20, "And they," His disciples, "went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word with signs following." Amen, He says. Alright, so the disciples went forth, meaning that they were sent by their Lord. They went forth being sent by the Lord, and they preached. They preached. And that's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose that our God has given to His church. We are to preach the Word, preach the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And He assures us that this is our purpose even to this day. And we're told that when they preached, they went forth preaching everywhere. Everywhere they went, they preached the Lord. And so they were sent by God to preach the gospel, to preach what it is that they knew, what the Lord had taught them, what the Lord had showed them here when He walked upon the earth, teaching them and doing the miracles that He did among them, and what He said concerning God and concerning their salvation. And so they went forth preaching the gospel. And the gospel reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel also reveals to us His resurrection. You know, we preach Christ and we preach the resurrection and the importance of speaking of the resurrection. The importance is because it puts us in mind, it puts us in memory that we are going to one day stand before Holy God. We're going to stand before the true and living God one day, very soon. And He's going to judge the people according to perfect righteousness. And all those outside of Christ are going to stand in their own works of righteousness, whereas those in Christ are going to stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and therefore be accepted by God, even as Christ is accepted by God for His righteousness. Alright, now in Acts 8:4, we read that when the church was persecuted, we read that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. Everywhere preaching the Word. And Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, in the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2, he told Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word, Timothy. All right? And then to Titus, another pastor, he writes to him in Titus 1:3, saying that God hath manifested His Word through preaching. Through preaching. So we see the importance of preaching the word. Not our focus isn't to be on ministering with services to the community or having various programs that suit the tastes and desires of the people there in the community, but rather the service that we're to provide to the people in our community, in our generation, is to preach the word, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you look up that word preach, just put in preach, you'll see that in Acts alone, the word preach or preached or preaching will all come up just by putting in preach there in a search there. And you'll see it comes up 37 times. 37 times just in the book of Acts. And in all those cases, with the exception of a very few exceptions, they all speak of, everywhere it's talking about preaching, we see the church preaching Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That's what we see throughout Acts. And the only time that there's a difference was when it's speaking of John the Baptist and what he preached. He preached the coming of Christ. And then there's one case where it's speaking of the Jews who preach Moses and the law. Right? That's the only other time that they speak of it. And you see that there's those who are yet in darkness, under the veil of blindness, in nature's blindness, preaching, not Christ, but preaching Moses. And that says a lot about the state of so-called churches in our day, who aren't preaching Christ. They're preaching Moses. And still to this day, they call themselves Christian churches, and yet they preach Moses, and they preach the law, and they preach all manner of things. It's mostly application and what you're supposed to be doing and how you could be doing better. Right? It's all focused on man to the exclusion of what we see in the scriptures, to preach Jesus Christ and his gospel. And so that's what we're to be doing. We're to be preaching and preaching Christ, because that's preaching the word. And so when you read of the word being preached, see that it's to reveal, the purpose of our preaching is to reveal Christ. It's to reveal the gospel, right? Peter, for example, and know the gospel, you know, written by Peter, First and Second Peter, they're wonderful books, and it's condensing everything that we see Paul say to the churches. And Peter, in 1 Peter 1:25, he says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." It endures forever. And we see how that even means to us that it's appropriate for every age, for every culture, every generation, we preach this word. And it's still relevant and necessary for every one of us in our day to hear it, just as it was necessary and needful to those alive in Paul's day, in Peter's day, in the Lord's day, and all throughout the church, throughout all ages, preach the word. It was necessary then, it's necessary for us today. And so he says, "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Meaning, when we're preaching, we are to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to exalt him. If we're not preaching Christ, then we cannot say that we are faithfully preaching as it's revealed in the Bible. We're not preaching biblical preaching unless we're exalting the Lord Jesus Christ in the salvation of his people, in the deliverance of his people. That's biblical preaching as we see revealed in the Word. In the Word. Alright, now I mentioned also that they preached everywhere. They went forth and preached everywhere. And that tells us what our scope and our boundary is, right? We're to preach everywhere. and pray that the Lord help us in season and out of season. Because if we're preaching everywhere, then there comes a need anytime and anywhere we go or at any time. And so our responsibility as a church, and that's what we are, we're a church that the Lord has assembled together. Our responsibility, therefore, is to faithfully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation. To see and to know that we've been put here to minister to those in our day, in our age. Those that with the problems and the issues of the day, we are to minister that gospel faithfully. Just as we saw other pastors that we saw faithfully ministering Christ and preaching the gospel in their day. It was important for them to do it in their day, so we do it in our day. And we're going to be addressing the issues that are coming up in our day that are warring against the truth of God revealed in Christ. Right? Because that never changes. That never ceases. They're always looking to the spiritual forces that are enmity against our God and against His Christ are ever present, ever warring, ever seeking to destroy Christ, ever seeking to destroy the foundation, ever seeking to destroy our hope, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we get off of preaching Christ and we get focused on other things out of the context of preaching Christ, then we've given place to the enemy. We're not doing what we've been called to do faithfully in preaching our Lord. And so if we're sent by the risen Christ, then we're going to faithfully preach Him. Right? Those who are sent to preach and to preach Christ. Right? Therefore, it follows that if we're sent and we do the work that we're sent to do, then we're going to experience what the disciples of our Lord experienced. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." And so it puts the work that we're called to do in the light, right? In the right perspective. And it shows that when we're preaching that word, doing that which our God has ordained us to do and given us the power and His Spirit to do, we see that the Lord is working with us, right? If we're rebelling against God and doing our own thing, the Lord's not working with us. We may find some form of success as men count success, but the Spirit won't be working with us, right? We'll be doing our own thing. And so He's the worker, our God is the worker, and we are but the tools in His hand, the tools that He uses in His kingdom as He sees fit. And turn over to Romans 12. Romans 12. And look there at verse 1. Romans 12, 1. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And we have the promise that the Lord is working with us. And, you know, oftentimes we wonder, especially young believers, you wonder, well, what would the Lord have me to do? How can I faithfully serve the Lord? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? Well, that could be very hard for us to know what we are to do. I can only say for myself what the Lord did was I didn't know what to do. I only knew that I wanted to serve the Lord and wanted to serve His people. And so what ended up happening was just when my pastor would go away to preach, he would ask me to preach. And it wasn't that I necessarily felt qualified or gifted to preach to the people of God, but I trusted the Lord that if they ask and they continue to ask, then I'm going to do what the Lord has given me to do. He's going to reveal His will, and it's that way with all of us. We're not all necessarily preachers, right? But we do find ways to serve and to help one another, whether it's giving of our resources, giving, and that includes our time, right? Or the things that the Lord's blessed us with, and He gives us that desire and that ability to serve and do for one another as He enables us to do it, right? And to labor among one another. Now, as you continue through Romans 12, and I'm not going to go through it all, but you can read almost the whole chapter of Romans 12, and you see how there's various gifts, but I'm just going to read a little bit more in it. In verse 2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Right? And he reveals that will to us in the preaching of the gospel, to know that it's about our Lord, it's about Him, and we're to exalt and bring honor to His name. "For I say," Paul said in verse 3, "through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And I was actually corresponding a little bit this morning with Clay, actually, and he had responded to the bulletin article, and we were talking, and I could just see, you know, just how you know, pastors or people, when you're preaching, you see how you see things, and then others see other things that you didn't see. And I was just thinking of how we see the glory of our God in that, how He reveals a little here to this person, and He reveals a little of that to that person. And all of it is always sufficient, perfectly sufficient to the needs of the brethren, and yet there's always other things that the Lord is revealing to us over time, or to this one or to that one, so that none of us ever thinks more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but that we always see that continued blessing as well as a need for the fellowship of the saints and the unity there in the body. As Paul says in verse 4 there, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." And so the Lord is the one who gives the gifts, right? And He enables us to use those gifts and puts us in position to use those gifts, and so we pray to that end, "Lord, help me," right? Because oftentimes, most of the time, we don't see it. We don't see any success with us necessarily, and we're usually focused more so on how we've stumbled and bumbled and fumbled things, and how we're coming up short, and yet the Lord, in His glory and power, is able to make His will effectual in the hearts and minds of His people, so that they're comforted and taken care of and provided for, all in by His Spirit working in the members of that body of believers that love the Lord and one another. And you can see all that as you continue to read Romans 12 at another time. But all right, so with that being so, we come back to our text there in Mark 16:20. It says, "They went forth and preached everywhere," right? And we see that they know the Lord was working with them, right? The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following, right? The Lord confirmed the word with signs following. And so we in ourselves are weak, we're not strong, but our strength and our understanding of the deep things of God all comes from His Spirit revealing them and working these things in us. And again, though we're weak, the Lord is strong and able to pass all understanding and to reveal those things that we have need of knowing in Him. All right? I like what Paul said in writing to Timothy again in 2 Timothy 2:9. He tells us, "The word of God is not bound. And I'm thankful for that, because though we ourselves are weak, He is strong, right? And His word is not bound by our weaknesses and our frailties and our failings, right? His word's not bound, and He's going to accomplish His will among His people. Paul would tell the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, he said, the Lord, right? Paul was praying because of an infirmity. This is a man whom the Lord used to work miracles among the people. And he himself has an infirmity, and he's praying, Lord, take this from me. And the Lord said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Right? Therefore, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so, in spite of our weaknesses, and us coming up short, and us unable to do things and hit that mark that we think we need to be hitting, the Lord is still able to deliver with power and glory to His name what He's working in and amongst His people. And so the Lord will confirm the word with signs following, He says. All right? So having said that, let's go back, because we didn't really get into verse 17 and 18 at all yet. So Mark 16, 17 and 18, because this speaks of signs, right? Signs. And He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Right? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, we know that in the apostolic age, right, those men who saw Christ and were called and sent directly by the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the apostles. We don't have any apostles this day. Right? But we do know that there were 12 apostles, and that Paul was the one who the Lord raised up to replace Judas. Right? There were 12 apostles sent by the Lord, and they had those gifts and the ability to even lay hands on others to confer those gifts in that age, in that time, because it was all done by the Lord to confirm that this word preached is indeed the word of God revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. All right, so these were literal gifts during that age, while the scriptures were being written, while the church was being established there on the earth. All right, now turn over to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. And let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 and 4. And he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Right? This was confirmed through signs and the preaching of the word, with the Lord attending it with signs that this is indeed the word of God. All right? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. All right, so now that the church has been established, now that the scriptures are completed, those miracles and that display of power is no longer necessary, because we now know this is indeed the word of the Lord. And if you are honest with it, you understand and see there's a greater miracle going on here, in that we who aren't seeing those miracles and that display of power yet believe the word which was confirmed to them. And that's what our Lord said in John 17:20. He prayed for this very thing when he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, these my apostles, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word." Through the word, right? And that's what we believe. We believe the preached word revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apart from seeing those magnificent displays and miracles and wonders before us, even so, God has revealed with power by giving you faith to believe that this is the Christ. He is my salvation and my hope. And I need nothing more but what my God has revealed to me in His Word. And though He be pleased to let me perish and suffer, by His grace and glory, I shall be yet able to praise Him and give Him all the thanks and continue hoping in Him till the end. Right? That's what He works in us, right? Was it Job? "Though he slay me, yet will I praise him." Right? And so that's by the power of our God. Right? So, I mean, even think about the Old Testament looking unto Christ. They didn't necessarily have all these miracles, and yet they believed and trusted and looked unto Christ coming. And so it is that we too are looking back now, even without that physical display of such power that the apostles had in their day. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean that these signs spoken of have no purpose or have ceased even in our day. Now, what do I mean by that? In other words, what I'm saying is they have a very real spiritual fulfillment in all the believers of the Lord, all right? So everyone born of the Spirit shall have this power, these signs revealed to them. All right? Our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so when you look there at this word, what do we see it says? This is verse 16. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Did you catch that? These signs follow them that believe. Not necessarily the apostles who are preaching the word, but every one of you that believe, these signs follow. So these miracles are worked in every single believer as the Lord is pleased to reveal his word in them. All right? So first, he says, "In my name shall they cast out devils." Now, there's a sweet correlation that we have, even as it was revealed in Mary Magdalene. And we looked at this once before, but I think it's a beautiful picture. If you turn over to Titus 3:3, remember, Mary Magdalene is that disciple of her Lord, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Right? He cast out seven devils out of Mary Magdalene. And I would say to you, brethren, that's the case with every one of us. Every one of us, as we see revealed in Titus 3:3. Paul said, "For we ourselves also, just like Mary Magdalene, we ourselves also, at one time, were filled with seven devils, as it were. We were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Right? We had those seven devils. They still, right? In the flesh, we're still wicked sinners. And our Savior has cast those things out as we look to Him in the inner man, in the new man, in the creation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified, not by works, but by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so he delivered us from the works of darkness, out of those things, that we might know and serve the true and living God. All right, second, they shall speak with new tongues. All right, now hasn't our Lord done that for us? Don't we speak with a new heavenly tongue? Don't we now give glory and praise to our God? Rather than speaking of our dead, filthy, polluted works, we boast in our Lord and Savior. We speak of Him, right? Now, the people of this world, they still don't understand us. But we not only declare and speak in other tongues, we even understand the other tongues. We understand when our brethren are speaking to us and when that word is preached to us. Because He hasn't given us the spirit of this world, but the spirit of our God, whereby we know these things and He reveals these things, so that that mist and darkness and confusion of Babel, we've been delivered from that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we speak with new tongues and we understand them as well. Third, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Well, we know that our Savior crushed the serpent's head, right? His deadly poison has no more power or effect on us, right? When we see His works, we do feel sick to our stomach oftentimes and are disgusted and pained by it, but it doesn't kill us. Our Savior doesn't let us fall into eternal death and condemnation, but He delivers us from that, so that even when were afflicted with that poison of His fiery darts, they shall be quenched with the power and the glory of our God and Savior. And then fourth, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Right? So this is accomplished, brethren, through the preaching of the gospel. That's how our Lord delivers us. That's how He ministers faith in our hearts, whereby we believe and confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior, and that God hath raised Him from the dead unto the salvation and deliverance of our souls. All right? So the Lord makes us, through the preaching of the gospel, to know I'm the sinner. I'm the rebel. I can't save myself by my own works of righteousness, but God has provided full and free salvation in His Son, accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from my works, so that it's all of His grace and to His glory and praise. And so our God has shined upon us in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? From that tiny little seed when our Lord laid down His life and died and was buried in the ground and sprung forth in His power and glory a tree fruitful. Right, bearing fruit in His people and bringing us out of darkness, out of death and the prison of bondage, in bondage to this nature's darkness and night, our Lord delivers us from that. All right? And so, brethren, we go forth confident, preaching this word, knowing that our God attends His word with power and with glory. Right? Isaiah said in Isaiah 2:3, many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so, brethren, know that our labor is not in vain. He's teaching us. Right? He's settling us. He's revealing Himself in us. And so we have that confidence. Right? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Right? Just remember that. Make a sign and put that in your garden. That would be a good reminder to us. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right, now let me just say finally, the last word Mark puts in his gospel is amen, or amen, if you prefer. Amen, which means so be it, or so it is. It is so. This is what it is. And so we say amen to all that our Lord has revealed to us. Right? In this study, as you read this blessed account of what our Savior said and talked to us and did among us, how our God reveals His glory and power in us through His Son Jesus Christ in this preached word. And by His Spirit, we say amen. Amen. Let it be so, even in us, Lord. Let it be so, as you say. And I'll just close with Revelation 22, verse 20 and 21, where this is the Lord speaking. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, we respond, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.